kind of chilly this morning, isn't it? That's okay. That's all right. I would like to unpack a few things in this story of Jesus telling fishermen what they're supposed to do. And he's not a fisherman. I just want to pull a few things out of that for you this morning. And oddly enough, one of the things that came to my mind as I was thinking about this story was the first time I saw a rainbow when I was living in Arizona. And as you know, it doesn't rain much in Arizona. In fact, hardly at all. And so there's not rain clouds. And you know, like here, you see a rainbow and there's an arc. And it can be really spectacular and quite vivid colors. In Arizona, I mean, there are clouds, but you don't see them very readily. And at the end of the day, sometimes you can catch them. They're very high clouds, very thin. And this one day I was driving home, and of course you can see a long way in Arizona from the road. Just like there's no forest or anything, you know. So over this mountain is the sun, and there's a very thin cloud over it. And so there's plenty of light, but there was a rainbow. There's enough water in that cloud for a rainbow to form. And this rainbow was a full circle, which is what rainbows are. We just don't see like the bottom half of the circle, you know, because it's behind the horizon or wherever it is. But this time it was high enough in the sky that you could see the full circle. And I was reminded of an awful lot of things. It was the end of the day. And like, for example, you know, the Hebrew day, it begins in evening. You know, either in Genesis, there's the evening, morning, the first day. And God, you know, being Jewish, would start his work at an evening. You know, when we're hanging it up for the day and going home and hopefully, you know, not doing any more work, God's just beginning. So I'm thinking, wow, man, this is great, you know. God's beginning the work while I'm putting it down. And then there was the rainbow was a symbol of a covenant. You know, there was the covenant with Noah that he would never destroy the earth again. And the sign of the covenant was a rainbow. So here, you know, God's extending a covenant and he's at work. I was very excited about all this. And as I was thinking about this just this past week, what came to my mind is this. God will work to draw from your soul a complete response. Everything that's in your soul, he will draw out from you as a response to his call. Negative and positive. Obedient and sinful. It all comes out from God. You know, God draws it all out. He looks for it. He meets us in all those places, everywhere. The dark places of our soul as well as the bright, shiny places. And that's what we see is going on with Peter here in this incident with the fish and the boat and teaching and all that. You know, here comes Jesus, as he often does. And there's a crowd, and he's on the shore. And Peter and Andrew and the others, you know, they've been out fishing all night, and they're really tired out. And they're washing their nets on the side, which they would do. You have to do that because they were going to go out the next night, you know, that night. That night, they're going to try to get some rest during the day and go out again. And then Jesus comes along, and there's a crowd because Jesus is there. And so he wants to teach them. He has a kind of a natural amphitheater with the water behind him, the lake there. And so he just goes over to Peter's boat, steps in it, and says, you know, put out a little bit so I can teach. Doesn't say hello. Doesn't say, how are you? No, doesn't say, nice boat. Nothing. Just steps in and says, come on. Like he's the captain of that ship or something. Well, of course he is, but, you know, he was certainly right to do that. But, I mean, he would not have been called as the pastor of any church that we know behaving this way. Just telling people what to do without asking, well, how are you? And all this. None of that was going on. So Peter did that. They go out a little bit, and Jesus teaches, and he wants to put Jesus back on the shore, because he is really getting tired. He's already lost a couple of hours of rest that he could have had. Things are really piling up on him. He wants to try again the next night because this is his living. And Jesus, as you noticed, says to Peter, just drop your net right there. Now, could you imagine the look that Peter would have given to Jesus there? Peter is a building contractor, not a fisherman. And as far as we know, he never dropped a line or a hook in water in his entire life. And here's Peter, who's making his living fishing, and he tells Peter, go ahead and put the net right there. At the worst time of the day, you know, they fished at night. This is when the schools of fish were behaving a certain way and you could get them in the net. And during the daytime, they behaved differently. And here comes Jesus, who knows apparently nothing about fishing, in the middle of the day, says, just go ahead and do that. I mean, can you picture Peter? I mean, this is Peter at the beginning of when he knows Jesus. You know, at the end of when he knew Jesus, do you remember what one of the things Peter did? They were coming to arrest him. He just pulls his sword out and chops the guy's ear off. This is the guy who, he chops the guy's ear off after 3 years of being with Jesus and all that spiritual growth. Imagine what he would have been like this day. Gives him the look. Yeah. But he says, all right. Because you said so, I will do it. Now, we don't know from what was given there, if he was being sarcastic or saying what he really meant was, I'll do it, and then, you know, it'll be, I told you so, or anything like that. I mean, it could have been. But we don't know. So, and as we see in the story, he drops the net in, and the nets, when they pull it up, it starts breaking. There's so many fish in there. And they put it in the boat, and the boat starts sinking. And they get their partner's boat, and that boat starts sinking. Things are really incredibly, incredibly out of hand at this point by what Jesus did. So they finally get to the shore, and Peter gets out of the boat, and he says to Jesus, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Now that is a very distinct and very spiritual kind of thing that goes on. It's a kingdom matter that Peter said that. I mean, I don't know. The natural thing might have been to say, hey, can we do that again? What do you say? Once, maybe twice today? It'd be great. Or how'd you do that? Or how does that work? I might have naturally wanted to say that. But Peter says no. The one who just had so many fish that their boats were sinking, who caused that to happen, he says, get away from me. Now, why is that a kingdom matter? What's going on with Peter? Well, that is the sign. When Peter says, get away from me, I'm a sinful man, that is the sign that Peter is already in the middle of the calling and purpose that Jesus has for his life. See, Peter already knew Jesus. It was just one chapter earlier that Jesus was in Peter's house. And Peter's mother-in-law was there sick in the back room, and Jesus heals his mother-in-law, and you know, the whole town starts showing up, and it was incredible stuff going on. Peter had already been in the middle of that, was already starting to go around with Jesus. In fact, it makes you wonder when Jesus first got into the boat and said, push it out onto the shore, why he didn't say, oh, by the way, Peter, how's your wife's mom? None of that. None of that went on. It's all Jesus being in charge. And Peter began to realize that he was exactly in the middle of the calling and purpose that Jesus had for his life. Now, the reason for that is this. You will recognize your sinfulness when you're in the calling and presence of Jesus. Before you are in that, you will not readily recognize your sinfulness. One of the sure signs that you have said yes to Jesus is that you recognize you're a sinner. Do you remember Christmas Eve I shared with you about my friend at the church we served in Pennsylvania, who the bishop came and said, Bill, would you read this reading in the service today? And he says, no, I have vices. I don't know if he ever did it or not. It was before I arrived. That was in a story that kept going on and on. But it was true. But our friend Bill did not recognize that the fact that he knew he had vices meant he had already said yes to Jesus and had the spiritual capacity to really perceive his sinfulness. When Jesus calls you and you say yes, one of the things you'll recognize is that you are a sinner. The next thing you recognize is that he's called you to follow him all the days of your life. And he will pour his grace upon you to overcome that sin. He will empower you to follow him all that time, every step of the way. And even in the next time you recognize that you're a sinner, he will call you and he will empower you and his forgiveness will flood over you. And this will happen, I believe, every time you are called into a new season of your life or a new place to be following Jesus. If you get into some set of relationships that are really difficult, or you have a set of relationships and they become difficult, and you find that your responses are such that you want these people to, well, you can fill in the blank. However, whatever works for you on that one is fine. Go away or worse, if that's what you think. And then you recognize that's a sin. That's the sign. You have been called by Jesus and are in the middle of his purpose in that set of relationships. And he will be giving you the power to overcome it. That will be true for any area of your life. Your work, your other friends, the things you volunteer at, your political ideology, what kind of music you like, whatever it is. When you have done something in that area and then you recognize that was a sin, that is the Spirit of God coming upon you, setting you up to take the next step into the life of Jesus that he's prepared for you to walk in. It is not the call to give up. It is not the call to say, whoa, I'm not a Christian. It is not the call upon you to say, well, I knew I wasn't following Jesus, so I'm just not going to anyway, or whatever else might come to your mind. It is the sign that he has saved you and that he is transforming you into his likeness. And that's what we see happening with Peter. This is the first step of that in his life. Later, after Peter had denied him three times, Jesus said to him, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Now go and convert your brothers. And it was about 50 days after that, the Holy Spirit fell upon the church, and Peter stood as the leader of the church and preached so that 3,000 were converted that day, and the church began forming as Peter took the leadership. And later you can see in his life, writing the 1 Peter and 2 Peter, how that was playing out in his own heart all those years before his own crucifixion. It was him realizing, I am a sinner, that opened the door for him to walk into the calling and purpose of God. Now, don't know why you're all looking at me with glum faces, because that's good news. That's just wonderful stuff. Because you sin, you're not kicked out. It's a sign that you're in. It's a sign that you're beginning to catch it. You know what's going on. And you know where your power comes from. You know it's not from you. And you know it's from Him. Now, there might be something going on in your life right now in which you are thinking, I'm a sinner. Or that thing that I do, that's a sin. Let me tell you a little secret. I'm really hoping you have something like that that's coming to your mind right now. Because we all are sinners. And we all have those sins. But I'm hoping that you will look at them with the eyes of the gospel, which is, that is the first sign that you've said yes to Him. And as you've drawn close to Him, He's drawing close to you. If there's something in your life like that, if you just, this morning, recognize it. Recognize it for what it is. And know that you overcome it with Him. You don't have to overcome it before He starts giving you power. He gives you power to overcome it. Now, if you're still having a little trouble coming up with some sins that you are guilty of at the moment, unrepentant, what is it that you don't like about yourself? You know, I don't like that I get mad. I don't like that I don't finish things. I don't like that when somebody criticizes me, I react this way. Or, you know, whatever it is. Whatever you don't like about yourself, that's coming from a heart of sin. And once you recognize, I don't like that about myself, and I realize that's wrong, that is the sign that you have said yes to Jesus, and He is putting you on the path to loving yourself, to fulfilling His commandment, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You're on the way. Remember, the way is daily crucifixion, dying to ourselves every day, so we can rise to new life every day. Now, if that's coming to mind, what I want you to do, if you would, in whatever way works for you, however it would fall together for you, is to put yourself into the position, like Peter, where you can hear the call of God more clearly on your life. For Peter, it was like this. He said, "Follow me, and you will be catching people." For you, it may be something else. But it's there. If you have recognized that you are a sinner, the next thing that's coming is a clearer call from Jesus on your life. So I want to encourage you to plug into that this morning. In fact, let's stand for just a moment, have some silence before the Lord, and see if He begins to communicate that to you. Lord Jesus, we do recognize that we're sinful. We're like Peter in that regard. And we ask that you would pour your grace and power upon us and that we would be able to hear with clarity the call that you have on our lives. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would continue to make that clearer every day of our lives. We ask that St. Francis would be a fellowship in which each person knows what you have called them to do, and each person, through each other, receives power to do it. as well as directly from you. We ask that that would be the mark of our church, that would be the dream that you fulfill, and that would be the power that you pour out. And we ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen. Let's profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,